This segment is sponsored by Pretium Resources, which has 35-year veteran Bob Quartermain, the man that took Silver Standard on a 100-fold move from 50 cents to $50, who is CEO of Pretium. The company is focusing on delivering value through its high-grade gold project, Brucejack, with one of the first holes on 2011, delivering an astonishing 18,000 grams per ton of gold. The company will shortly begin a feasibility study for the high-grade resources, which now total 5 million ounces of gold measured and indicated, and 3 million ounces of inferred with a 5 grams per ton equivalent of gold cutoff. Pretium has 40 million ounces of measured and indicated gold and 27 million ounces of inferred. Pretium Resources, symbol PVG in Canada and PXZRF on the U.S. This is King World News. I'm Eric King, and you're about to hear from Felix Zuloff. Remember to go to our homepage, kingworldnews.com, for more interviews. But without any further delay, here is Felix Zuloff. Joining us now is world-renowned money manager Felix Zuloff, who has been a Barron's Round Table panelist for over 20 years. Felix, obviously the main topic right now is what is happening in Europe. There's the intense focus on the euro. What's the situation as you see it there? Because it's moving week to week and sometimes day to day.
Well, I think it's becoming clearer now which way the development will eventually go. At the beginning of the crisis, about a year ago or so, it was unclear what sort of direction Germany would move, whether they would cave in to the requests by the periphery and France to bail them out by joining in a fiscal union, etc., etc. And then there was an important change within the Bundesbank, and Merkel's advisor is now the head of the Bundesbank, Jens Weidmann. And since then, Merkel seems to have a much clearer focus on which way Germany wants to move. It actually comes down to the old philosophy of German monetary policy, that monetary policy should not be misused to manage the economy in the short run, but it should create a stable currency that is a function of a store of value for savers. And this way you get savers trusting the currency. You get high savings rate, you get then high investment rates in your economy, and you get a very competitive economy. That's the German philosophy. Whereas the periphery and the Anglo-Saxon world is much more, you use whatever tool is available to manage the economy in the short run. The long term will take care of by itself. And if we have to debase the currency, we do so. You end up basically with low savings rates and with low investment rates and with less and less competitive situation. And to make up, you have to devalue the currency. Those are two very different philosophies of how to use monetary policy. And in recent weeks, it has become much clearer that Germany wants definitely to stick to its own philosophy. And this has implications. Chancellor Merkel was saying we want more fiscal integration, and they had a EU summit just in the last few days. They will write the rules. We do not know them in detail, but they want sanctions if a country has too high deficits. They want an automatic debt restraining mechanism in place, and they want an EU center to monitor the situation and sanction the country that breaks the rules. So that means what you have is you have an imposition of a very tight and austere fiscal policy for the future in all of the Eurozone. And this means that Europe is probably already in recession. It will remain in recession in 2012 and probably also in 2013. This is pretty harsh. And what they say is when everybody sticks to that, the ECB gets a little bit more freedom and more room to ease monetary policy and do some money printing, et cetera, as an offsetting factor. The problem with this theory is that in overleveraged economies and economies that have overvalued currencies like the periphery of 30% or so, and high real interest rates, when you look at their bond yields, you cannot expect monetary policy to work, but fiscal policy will. This is the prescription for an economic disaster in the European periphery, and it will also weaken the center, of course, over time. And then the question for next year really is, how deep will it become? What chaos will they create, and how it will affect the rest of the world?
Felix, let me ask you, how deep will it become? Do you see Europe plunging into a depression because of these policies and because of the austerity and the fact that we have now a German-dominated Europe?
Well, not all of Europe, but I think the periphery goes into depression. When you look at a country like Greece, it's now been in recession for 3 years. The stock market is down 90%, which is the equivalent of 1929 to 32 in the U.S., this is depression-like, and GDP is down over 10%, probably 15% from the top in 2007, et cetera, et cetera. That's depression-like, and more economies will fall into that situation. And that creates the problem of people revolting. Right now we have new governments not elected by the voters, the citizens of those countries, but really implanted as technocrats by the EU center, so to speak, by Brussels. So they will be very disliked. And I think what you will see some revolution starting or intensifying next year. And then I expect next year that at least one country, probably three, will exit the euro. And that will make 2012 very, very interesting because there are no rules how to exit the euro. And exiting a country, exiting the euro means that right next day when they exit, their banking system is bust. And that means that the banking system has to be nationalized immediately in a new currency. They introduce a new currency, they nationalize the banking system, and then, of course, the government is also bust, and then the government will default. And that's what you have to expect next year. I think Greece will do so, and I think Portugal and Ireland are candidates to do so also. And then it will depend on how that crisis is managed, whether the crisis can be turned around and terminated, or whether it will intensify and drag on into 2013 and force Italy and Spain out of the Eurozone as well. I cannot answer that at the present time, but I think 2012 is pretty sure to see at least one, probably three nations exiting the euro and creating turmoil in the financial markets and weaken the European and most likely also the world economy further.
Felix, very casually there, you mentioned that there will be revolutions. How intense is this going to get in Europe?
Well, you know, I have never lived through a revolution like the French Revolution, but I think you will just have mass demonstrations, you will have strikes, which will shut down the country, public transportation systems, schools, transportation. This will not be nice and not pleasant, of course. And it will put pressure on the political authorities to change things. And then they have to maneuver between their constituency and the requests from the Eurozone center. And at some point of time, the political leadership in those countries may say, well, I think we are better off if we exit. We know it's going to be bloody for a year, and it will be even worse than it is right now. But at least then we can devalue our currency and regain competitiveness for our industry, our export sector, our tourism, etc., etc. And then 2 years down the road, we will be on a recovery path. And we are bust anyway, so we rather be bust and default on a currency with a currency that we can devalue and control and regain competitiveness in the world economy than be bust and stay outside of the world economy because we cannot compete.
Felix, I did want to ask you, I mean, you mentioned there that the banks will be nationalized previously. The MF Global situation, though, I wanted to tie that in. You mentioned about 2 years ago on the air here that people needed to own assets outside the banking system. That's what they needed to do to protect themselves. Did you see this coming, or did you know something like this was going to happen?
Well, I didn't know about MF Global at all. I just assumed that the way things were developing, and I expected the turmoil in the European bond market, and you may recall that I finger-pointed on Italy being next after Greece and not Spain, etc., etc., that some of the aggressive players would be on the wrong side of the trade. Because all of a sudden you will see moves, I expected moves that were, you know, several standard deviations away from what happened in the last few years. And that's usually when you get some of the big guys being on the wrong side and they go belly up and default, and then you have a problem in the system. MF Global is not such a big entity like Lehman, but it shows that the system is not healthy yet.
Felix, do you see people not trusting the system then going forward? Are we going to see more MF Global type events where people simply don't feel safe in clearing houses, bottom line?
Well, you know, let's go back very quickly to what I said, one country exiting, and then you have chaos. And obviously, that country will default. Not only the government, but also the private sector will default to a large extent. And that means that the banks in the remaining European countries will have to take huge losses, much more losses than the recent stress tests showed or used in their stress test. And that would mean that you probably have to expect more nationalizations of banks in several of the European countries to stabilize the system. And that, again, means that the governments that have to nationalize banks, they don't have the money, they have to go into debt, and that means that the debt levels go even higher. So you can expect that the bond markets will not be very quiet in their trading next year. So it will be a very wild situation that I see coming for next year.
What about the money printing situation then, Felix, as you see it going forward?
There will be much more to come. I mean, the Americans, usually when worse comes to worse, they always print money, and the British will do the same. And eventually, at some point, even the European, the ECB, will do so. Right now, assets of the ECB are rising, but they are not rising because the ECB is actively pushing the asset side and printing money. It is actually happening in a passive way because the banking system in Europe, particularly in the periphery, needs refunding and cannot rely on the market, and therefore they go to their national central bank and get the money and the refunding there, and that is part of the ECB balance sheet, and that's how the active side of the balance sheet of the ECB goes up. But this is not easy money. This is money printing, but it's not easy money because this money will not be used in the real economy for transactions, etc. And the money printing so far has been, on a historical basis and compared to the size of our system, relatively low. I mean, we saw with TARP, the TARP program in 2009, the Fed used about $700 or $800 billion, but we learned just recently that they had guarantees given out on the equivalent of about $7.7 trillion, which is about half of the US GDP. So what they have printed so far relative to the size of the system has not been very big. It has been huge compared to what they did in the past.
Let me ask you then, Felix, about the MF Global situation one more time, circling back to that. Do people have to worry essentially about having their paper accounts wiped out in the future as you see it, not just by bank nationalization, but by derivatives disasters that chew up firms and leave customers with a life savings wiped out?
Well, that's, of course, that's a risk when a system is as extended as ours, and when you have derivatives of several hundred trillion notional outstanding, and nobody knows how the individual players are exactly positioned. Of course, there is a huge risk, because this is all levered. Because we have no transparency, we cannot say where the problems are, and that's very risky. I would expect that if worse comes to worst, that the central banks will save the key institutions of our system. And if you have to have your money with a bank, make sure you are with one of the key institutions they have to save, or the system goes down. And other than that, I would just buy debtors, you know, fixed income assets of debtors that are solid, that have solid balance sheets, and a business model that survives even in very stressful economic periods. That can be very sound and very strong balance sheet companies. And you can park your money there until the market swings around and you can enter the stock market again. I don't think it's time to do so, but maybe sometimes in the second half we will arrive at that point, similar to spring 2009.
In light of everything you've just said there, what about gold then, Felix? That's obviously a way to own assets outside the banking system, especially if you're storing it outside of the banking system.
Well, in a highly levered world economy, in a highly levered system, when the world economy slows down, as it is doing now, and when you have one continent going into recession and turmoil, most likely, obviously this is a deflationary process. And eventually the response to that deflationary process and the pressure coming out of this will be inflationary policies by the policymakers, by central banks, and also by fiscal authorities. Fiscal policy stimulation at the present time is out of question. Now the governments have discovered we have a problem, we have too much debt, and therefore we have to be fiscally more responsible at the present and the future. And therefore fiscal policy is a no-no right now. Once the dam breaks, they have to go back to fiscal policy stimulation at some point. So after the election, maybe in the U.S., you will see something on that side forthcoming. But I think it will take much longer this time than in previous times when they did not have the restraint of the, you know, understanding of the debt problem out there. And that understanding the political bodies have right now is preventing major stimulation efforts on fiscal side. That's why you have to expect that fiscal policy will come and kick in rather late, which really opens up the risk on the downside in economies and in financial markets more than it probably did in the past. Monetary policy, they will swing around very quickly. I mean, the monetary authorities are aware of the problems in the U.S., in the U.K., I also think in China. They handle the situation in a way that they will become aggressive whenever it's necessary. Europe is a little bit different. Europe will probably take more time because the whole decision-making process and the constraints having 17 different head of states intervening with monetary policy in some form makes the decision much more difficult. And the Bundesbank, as I explained at the beginning, has a different philosophy, and therefore they usually come always quite late to that easing process. So based on all these factors, we have the risk that the downside could be open longer, and therefore the magnitude could be deeper, and the swing and turnaround could be later than it usually did in the past. And that's a risky situation to go into in 2012.
Speaking of 2012, Felix, what do you see ahead in 2012?
Well, as I said, a European recession, turmoil in the euro, with at least one, if not three, countries exiting. And then without chaos, I would have expected the U.S. economy to grow maybe around 1-1.5% or so. But with chaos in Europe, it could lead to a dip below zero for a quarter or two as well. I would expect that the emerging markets, with the European consumer and the American consumer being relatively calm, that the emerging economies will also continue to slow down. And that is not good news for stock markets and for corporate profits. So I think you will have disappointments on that side. But it's very difficult to make a good forecast, because it's not the classic recession pattern that we see right now. Usually you go into a recession. In the past 50 years, we went into a recession when we came out of a 5-6-7-year business expansion that produced all the excesses in the economy, too much inventories, rampant inflation, et cetera, and then the central bank had to clamp down, raised interest rates, and then we had a recession coming. That's not the case this time. In Europe, you see, you had the stronger economies coming out of recession, and they will dip down again. The weak economies staying into recession since 2008 and never came really out of it. And the U.S. Bounced back sharply during the period when the fiscal stimulus was on. But since then, it's sort of very sluggish. The economies really depend on income trend, you know, household income trends. And in the current world, with relatively low inflation and very low wage growth, if at all, is not a world where you can make a case for good growth. And therefore, you have a situation that is fragile. The deleveraging process that was initiated in the several corners of the world economy a few years ago still continues. And in this fragile environment, you have this coming turmoil in Europe that I see, with an exit of at least one country. And that makes for a very difficult landscape for businesses and investors in particular, because the uncertainty will be extremely high, because we have never lived. The current operators in the markets have never lived through anything like it before. And what I do believe is most likely is that the stock markets will decline. Maybe they will zigzag around a little bit in the first 2-3 months of the year, but then will decline and probably make a bottom or a good low sometimes late in the year, if it gets controlled and the authorities come in with major stimulus programs. If they cannot act or not act in a decisive way, and you will see further nations exiting the euro, then the turmoil and the chaos grows bigger, and that could lead to Europe staying in recession for 13 and dragging the rest of the world into it. But it's not the classic recession pattern of the past 50 years. It's a completely different animal. And that is so difficult for strategists and economists to see. That's why so many economists are forecasting there won't be any recession next year. Because I understand them, we do not have the normal preconditions of a recession. This is a different animal.
Felix, when you talk about that, and when you say there's going to be a recession possibly dragging the economy into it globally because of the European situation, is that going to be a healthy cleansing, as painful as it will be? Will that finally be a healthy cleansing, or will it lead to system collapse?
Well, I hope for the first, and I fear for the latter. I do not know, quite frankly. You know, when you are as indebted as we are today in our systems, it's probably very difficult to grow out of it with the demographics and low growth rates that are ahead in coming years in these countries. So I think you will see several countries eventually default, and that would be part of the cleansing process. Others will try to escape, and at some point of time they will get aggressive in printing money and debasing their currency. And I think the US and the UK, the Anglo-Saxon, are at that risk. And of course, those peripheral countries in Europe that exit are also at that risk. Then you will probably see what's opening up now. Just these recent days showed very clearly a disruption between the Eurozone and the European Union. The European Union is, I believe, 27 countries, nations, and the Eurozone is 17 of those 27. And obviously, the Brits and maybe also the Swedish or the Danish or the Slovaks, they don't want to subscribe to the new treaty that they are trying to write for the EU. And therefore, you will have a rift going through the European Union in that you have members of the Eurozone, which will become a tighter bloc, so to speak, one currency bloc, whoever then is part of it, and you have the rest in the EU that have different interests and different economic policies, and the risk is that there will be rising problems between these two blocks, so to speak. So it is not the stable world we have come out of. It's a very unstable situation, and it will probably raise more questions than can be answered at the present time.
In light of all of that, Felix, what are you having your clients invest in right now? It sounds like you're having clients move to safety of high-rated corporate bonds, but what else outside of that? Are they buying gold? What else are you advising them to do with their money?
Well, you know, these are unusual times, and in unusual times, you should have a basically defensive position because you want to preserve capital during the storm. And once the storm clears, you will then use that capital and invest into all the opportunities that were presented due to the storm. That means the storm will probably bring several asset prices down to lower levels, but you need to have the cash available to invest once the storm is terminating. I recommend a large cash position or cash-like position. It could be in 2 or 3 year, maximum 3 year solid debt paper. And they should stick to their own currencies. And in Europe, I would avoid all the debtors outside of the core, Germany and the Netherlands, because you have the risk of exits from the Eurozone, and you do not know they will change the rules. And you could end up owning drachme or Italian lira or whatever instead of euros. So that's what I recommend. That's the stable part of the portfolio. Then I have been recommending for years and still do to stick with gold, because gold is an alternative currency. All the major currencies have a handicap, and therefore I recommend gold. Although gold could easily have a correction down into the, you know, the lows we have seen a while ago, in the 1500s or so, that could most likely be an opportunity to buy again, because the secular bull market is not over, and gold is the only asset of all the asset classes I see that is in a true secular bull market. Maybe you could say the same about U.S. Treasuries, but I think U.S. Treasuries are very close to the end of their secular bull market, and the room left is very little. While the room left in gold will be quite large, I believe, because the turmoil I described will call for monetary easing, whatever the philosophy of the given central banks are. They have to do it, and that will weaken all the currencies relative to gold. That's the basic position, and then, of course, some people like to own equities. I'm recommending to stay at the very low end of their ranges that they have in their strategies. I do not recommend to not own any equities. So buy some of or hold some of the sound companies you think will be solid businesses after the storm has cleared.
The hedge fund that you advise on the U.S. side, Felix, can you give the listeners globally an update on how that fund is performing?
The company is called 300 North Capital. It's actually located in Pasadena, California. It's a small shop. The manager is Rick Campagna. He has done very well this year. I think he's up 19% and something gross. He has done a superb job. So I think Rick will continue to deliver good performances. It's the macro, global macro hedge fund of 300 North Capital in Pasadena, California.
The legendary Felix Zuloff, two-decade Barron's Roundtable panelist. Thank you for joining us on King World News.
Thank you very much, Eric. It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Be sure to tune in as we will continue to release interviews with the top people in the world throughout the week. Also, check out the King World News blog. With this past couple of weeks, we had Chris Whalen, Andrew McGuire, Eric Sprott, Peter Schiff, Ben Davies, Felix Zuloff, Mark Fauber, Jim Rickards, James Turk, Michael Pinto, Robin Griffiths, Gerald Celente, John Hathaway, John Embry, and Jim Sinclair.